Okay, let's see. We have a couple of praise reports this morning. Thank the Lord for that. A woman wrote to us recently at CRI to let us know of her deliverance from the deception of the Watchtower almost a year ago. She shares her testimony. Thank you for your loyalty to God and exposing the cults. I had been one of Jehovah's Witnesses for 10 years. The Lord has used you and your books, also your appearance with the Setnars on the John Ankerberg show, to remove the scales from my eyes. I watched the Ankerberg show October 29th, and it was the beginning of my life. I saw what you said was true. My husband ran out and bought Jehovah of the Watchtower and the Kingdom of the Cults, and I learned how truly deceived I had been. I also learned of the deity of Jesus. The deliverance was almost instant. I soon accepted Jesus into my heart. This is important work you do in the name of Jesus. You're being used, at least you were in my life, in a fantastic way. Our God is such a loving God, He delivered the message in a way that I could logically accept it for myself. It's great to be alive in Christ. Now I can say, Jesus is Lord. I hope the Lord will help me help others now. Praise God. Man, that's something. That's... I hadn't read this praise report till I just opened it up right now. I had no idea about it. But we've been getting calls on the Bible Answer Man of people who have been just remarkably delivered recently from the cult. It's almost like a rash of people getting saved. We had two people in Herbert Armstrong's, just getting ready to be baptized in Herbert Armstrong's cult. And they called in and were praising and thanking the Lord because they tuned into a broadcast. And somebody asked me a question, what about Herbert Armstrong? And I said, this is about Herbert Armstrong, and I gave him the information, and she said, good grief, I'm getting ready to be baptized into a cult. And she and her sister repented and accepted Christ as their Savior, and she wanted to call in and praise the Lord for it. We've had ex-Mormons calling in, ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, the Lord's been blessing us out of our socks with people who have been calling and praising God for salvation. I just am very grateful for that, because that's a testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord. Now I have an announcement to make about radio station KYMS and our broadcast here in Orange County. KYMS has changed its format, they tell us, and they are going to almost total Christian music. There will be a few people left on the station. Jack Hayford will be on there. They will have... Chuck Smith is not going to be on anymore. I am not going to be on anymore. That's right. And what they're doing is they're converting the entire thing over into music because I firmly believe they think there's more money in music than there is in Bible teaching. And yet it was the Bible teachers that made the station. Without the Bible teachers, there wouldn't be any stations. And without the support of the churches, there wouldn't be any stations either. But now they have a new manager at KYMS, and he has decided that he is going to remove myself. I am unfortunately controversial, so it's easy to remove me. So they removed me and added Joyce Landorf, who is not controversial. So the problem that we're having with KYMS, I think, is pretty obvious, and that is that they wish to switch to a different format than the one that they have had, and they're going to do so. I wonder whether they polled the public to find out whether the public would appreciate it or not. I don't know. It's not going to change my being on the satellite radio network. I will be on more than 50 stations right now all the way across the United States, but not right here in Orange County, where I would like to be on. They have offered me... rebroadcast, that is, they'll play Bible Answer Man rebroadcasts on the station, but they will not do any more live Bible Answer Man programs. All the material is going to be taped on the program, and they're going to a lot of Christian, I think Christian rock music, and stuff that personally I don't appreciate. I don't know whether you appreciate it or not either, but that's what you're going to be hearing on KYMS. Now, if you wish to register your feelings on the subject, I would suggest that you write to KYMS, and you'll find them in the phone book. Their address is in the phone book. If you really want to see the Bible Answer Man, have a chance. Perhaps if we have enough people write and show their concern for myself and Chuck Smith and others, then, of course, we'll be able to stay on. But if the public doesn't respond to it, you can be sure the station won't respond. You can be absolutely certain of that. But I thought you'd like to know that next Saturday night will be my last broadcast live on KYMS. Last night I was supposed to be on live, and our line went down. Our telephone line went down to KYMS. Fortunately, it didn't go down to the satellite, but to KYMS. And so we had to do a recorded broadcast last night on KYMS. But I was on live on the network last night. And could have been there till 3 o'clock in the morning with all the questions that were coming in. But I had to be here this morning, conscious, so I could teach. So we can't do more than 2 hours. But at any rate, that's what's happening at KYMS. The decision has been made, and they informed us of it in a letter. And Chuck Smith will no longer be on there. I will no longer be on there, and a whole host of other people will not be on there. And they will be going to taped programs and to music. And the preponderance of the programs will be probably 75% constant music. I don't really think that that is spiritually edifying personally, but that's a personal opinion, and that's what they're doing. Now, it's not going to put any crimp in the Bible Answer Man program as far as nationwide coverage is concerned, or satellite. We're nailed down there very comfortably, and our stations are growing. In fact, we could add another 40 or 50 stations to our coverage right now if we had the funds to just lay out for the satellite radio network, which we don't. We have a special deal with them, but even then, it still costs money. So KYMS, which is the only outlet in Orange County, Christian outlet in Orange County, except K-Bright, and K-Bright doesn't go on at nights, only in the daytimes, is, in essence, shutting down everything but a few selected people. And that will be it. We were told that. We weren't called in and asked to discuss it or to pray about it or to in any way have a voice in it. It was just arbitrarily decided. When I went on KYMS 9 years ago here in Orange County, John Boyd, who was the general manager for the stations and is now our media representative for Christian Research Institute, said that it was myself, Chuck Smith, and 5 or 6 others that built the station through interest and gave it the stability that it has. He said it is highly unethical to do what's being done right now, and therefore we should pray about it. So what I've done is I'm praying about it. I'm not going to attack their judgment. I'm going to constructively, critically suggest that the public, if they want to have the Bible Answer Man on, and Chuck Smith and others, that they should begin letting KYMS know about it, listen to their music format, and then decide what you want. But at any rate, that's why I'm not on there. It's not because we're not paying our bills. We are. It's not because there isn't interest in the program. The program, Bible Answer Man, is number one on the Arbitron rating, which is the secular rating for radio participation in Orange County when it's on live and when it's on rebroadcast. Number one, and has been for 7 years. They are removing the number one program in order to put on music. I can't figure that one out. But at any rate, that's what they're doing. It's also number one in the Christian ratings when it's on at that time. Now, that's by God's grace that we've been able to stay there. And I don't think if you're a good, intelligent manager of broadcasting, you take your number one program off in order to put music on when you don't know what the music's going to produce, but you know what the program has been producing. So if you're interested, I suggest that you write KYMS. Lovingly, constructively, but perhaps if they hear from the Christian public, then maybe they will get the message that a lot of people don't want to hear Christian rock. They'd much rather hear the Word of God. And if you are interested, you're going to lose your number one Christian FM outlet here in Orange County, and the only one. You're going to lose it to expositional Bible teaching, and you're going to get music instead. So if you like that, fine. If you don't like it, then do something about it by letting them know. Now, that's all I have to say on that subject. I'm not going to deliver myself on my personal feelings. That's just facts. So you can take the facts and act on them any way the Lord leads you. But don't think that we're leaving the air because, A, we have to, or, B, because we don't have the funds. The Lord has provided that for Orange County very successfully on KYMS. It's paid for itself since the first year that it went on the air in Orange County. That's a miracle to have that happen, but it has. And the reason we're leaving is because they are changing the format of the station and converting it to music. So you get about 75 to 80% music, and the rest of the time you will get selected Bible teachers. I think one of the reasons I'm not selected is because I do ruffle people's feathers over a period of time, and they do get upset. Anyhow, you pray about it. I'll be on a satellite radio network, plenty of coverage, plenty of people, plenty of interest, but I'd like to be on in Orange County because this is where we have our headquarters, and it would be nice to get on. We tried K-Bright, and they're having difficulty scheduling because they already have a glut of people. But we're trying to find out what the Lord's going to do, and you can help us by praying about it. That is the announcement. If anybody, somebody had their hand up before. Some people did, yes. I'm on in San Diego on KMJC, and I was uncovered here over Orange, completely in Orange County on KYMS. But now with the cancellation of KYMS, and we can't buy time on K-Bright, we are stuck with San Diego, KMJC, which is a very good station, very clear. It comes up as far as some parts of Riverside and also to right clean into San Clemente. But beyond that, it runs into other channels. So unless we get back on KYMS, then there's no way to have an outlet here in Orange County. And what can you do about it? I mean, I don't make the station policy. They make the policy. Yes. I talked to Dr. Montgomery the other day about this to ask what had happened with him. He said he had heard nothing about it for himself, and he thought that he would probably still be on the program. And whether they'll let him stay on live or not, I don't know. But I'm sure that he's going to be on unless they have sent him a letter in the meantime. But Dr. Montgomery feels, just as I do, that the most important message that a Christian radio station can give in the community is instruction in the Word of God. And if you have a program like the Bible Answer Man, which is constantly answering questions, and number one in Christian and secular ratings in that area, then you should keep that kind of a program on the air. But you can't compel station managers or owners to do that. They make arbitrary decisions, and when they do, that's the end of it. You have no place to appeal. You can't do anything. They just say, we're going to reschedule it, and they do it. And they did that to us. And very short notice, I might add. 30 days notice is pretty short time after 9 years. To let you know. And that was their decision. I don't think it was a fair decision, but that's my opinion. Yes? I have no idea whether Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or any of those others will be on there. I didn't ask any questions of them. I didn't go down to the station and pound on the desk. I didn't call the president up. I didn't call the station manager. I decided not to make a big issue out of it, but I did decide to tell my Bible class. And I am sending a letter out to our constituency in Orange County, which is rather large. And I'm explaining in there that we are not on, and this is the reason we're not on. Now, the only thing I can figure that can change it is if the Holy Spirit moves the Lord's people to protest vigorously enough, perhaps the Lord will also touch the hearts of the station manager and also of the owner. Many times people who do not listen to good common sense have an affinity for listening to the cash register. And if they get the idea that people are really dissatisfied with them and aren't going to support them, then they just might have a change of heart. So let's pray that the Lord will give them a change of heart. All right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to attack them. I'm going to pray that the Lord will give them a change of heart. They need it. Okay. Anybody else had a question? Yes, sir. We thought about doing tapes of the Bible Answer Man program and putting out a whole series of albums very cheaply called The Best of the Bible Answer Man, in which we would take all of the questions that I answer and put them out to our listening audience very inexpensively, as inexpensively as we possibly could. That way people could have the material if they couldn't get it on the air. We're thinking about that right now, and we're talking to the people next week who do our reproducing for us to see if it can be done reasonably. If so, we'd make the tapes available. But the tapes I do here are mailed out, a couple hundred of them a week, I think, different people throughout the United States who get the tapes from here. So we desperately need the prayers and support of the Lord's people at CRI. There's no doubt about that. The Bible Answer Man program is important to that, particularly here in Orange County. So we do need your prayers that the Lord will do something about that. Yes? Can't hear you. I have not talked on the air on KYMS, but Monday through Saturday next week, I will announce on KYMS that I am not going to be on the air, and the reason why I'm not going to be on the air, and let the public know. I cannot be prevented. I bought the time, and therefore I am going to tell the public that I'm not going to be on because they're going to replace me with rock music, Christian rock music, and Christian contemporary music. And if that's what the public wants, fine. But I got a funny feeling that a large segment of the public likes the Bible Answer Man program, and that they just might have something to say. But there's only one way to do it. That's send a telegram. Let them see the urgency, or write a letter and get it in there. It costs peanuts to send a telegram and say, I protest the removal of the Bible Answer Man program. And why? I mean, this may, if they get inundated, wake them up to the fact that Bible teaching is important. And I don't know what Chuck's going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tell the public why we're not going to be on and let the public take care of it. If the Lord wants us on, we'll be on. If he doesn't want us on, then obviously any amount of protest won't do any good. I protest primarily because after helping build the station for 9 years, I object very much to getting 30 days notice that I'm going to be replaced by somebody who's strumming a guitar. That bothers me. I think that you put in enough time and energy building a station, the guy strumming the guitar wasn't even around 9 years ago. And I do think that we might raise that issue with them. Yes. I would address it to Mr. Paul Toberty, T-O-B-E-R-T-Y, the president of KYMS. Paul Toberty, T-O-B-E-R-T-Y, at KYMS, or the station manager. And let him know, if you feel that way. I don't want to be on the station 1 minute if God doesn't want me on there, but I sure shoot and hate to get off it unless the Lord is taking me off. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I'll give the information on the mailing address over the radio. Monday on KYMS, I will do that. I will be on the air there. I think I'm on KYMS in the afternoon, 2 to 3. Is it 2 to 3?
10 to 11.
Oh, it got me on 10 to 11 in the morning? Is it? Yes, but there's a live broadcast in the afternoon. I think it's carried on KYMS. From 1 to 2 or 2 to 3, isn't it? Ah, okay. Then what I'll have to do is I'll announce it on the Bible Answer Man program on the satellite radio network to tell the people to pray. And then I'll have to announce it next Saturday night, which is our last broadcast. It's Saturday night, 9:30 to 11:30. So I'll have to do it then for sure. But I think the public is going to get really jolted when they get told, because we were told that there was a meeting held last week, and then they'd let us know for sure because we appealed it to them. And so they detained us responding, you see, by not giving us an immediate yes or no on it. Then they finally gave us a no, and last night the line was down to CCA, so I couldn't use the line, and that way I couldn't get on KYMS last night. I'll get on there, however, next Saturday night, the Lord willing, and let them know. Yes. Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? He's been in radio 20 years. He's telling us that Christian programming, such as mine, Chuck's, and others, are not popular with advertising agencies. And the advertising agencies is where the money is in the radio business. So it's purely a question of dollars They want more dollars, and they want it on the basis of music, because music is popular with these people. So that's precisely what they're doing. They're trading in Christian programming for dollars in music. Is that right? Is that accurate? That's business. It's a business decision based on more bucks. What they forget is that the advertising agencies wouldn't touch them 9 years ago. Nobody wanted them 9 years ago. Then when they get successful through Christian broadcasting, they dump the Christian teaching and bring in music that they can merchandise to the advertising agencies. Is that... In other words, if you started listening to the station, as you listen to the station, and the people who are advertising on there, let the people who are advertising know that you don't like what happened. That may get to their pocketbooks a lot faster than anything else. Now, that's a possibility. Thank you for that insight, brother. I had not thought of that. Bible Answer Man is on 11 o'clock to 12, is it? 10 to 11 every, they reschedule on me all the time, 10 to 11 Monday through Friday, and Saturday night 9:30 to 11:30 live. 10 a.m. in the morning to 11, and in the evening 9:30 to 11:30 on Saturday nights. And Sunday from 6 to 7:30 rebroadcast. That's KYMS 106.3 FM, I believe, after all these years. Yeah. Yes? KFSG. I think our people are negotiating now, trying to get some time. We're waiting to see what the Lord does. I'd like to stay on KYMS, and I'd like them to know that the Bible Answer Man program is alive and well. And, well, the Lord will have to do it, that's all. We can't do it. The Lord will have to do it. Yeah. On KANN. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, I got this information. That's unbelievable. Praise God. I praise God for that. We're just saying, in case you couldn't hear him in the back, that he was working out in Utah, and when he was out there, he found a number of Mormons that they were witnessing to who had come to Christ through the Bible Answer Man program and through literature from Christian Research Institute, and that they had a bookstore, a lot of these Christians, called His Place, right down the street from Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, and the Mormon students and everybody trickle in there, and they get our literature there. Incidentally, we are number one in Utah on KANN, which is the radio station that covers Salt Lake City, and that our program goes in there like NBC in Los Angeles, and God has really blessed it in a remarkable way. So I'm glad to hear that praise report. Praise the Lord for that, that's happening in Utah. Amen? Thank you for the literature. So much for the KYMS thing. Thank you for the insight on the radio aspects. I'm sorry to see that it's so crass that it's reduced to just dollars. I thought perhaps it had something more behind it than just the consideration for dollars. Okay. Is the Greek Catholic religion older than the Roman Catholic? They are the result of the split between the Eastern and the Western Church in the 10th century. The name Roman Catholic came into existence in the 10th century. And the Greek Catholic Church agrees with the Roman Catholic Church in virtually all of its theology. So what you're dealing with is part of the East-West split, but they are still very much Roman Catholic in their theology. Let's see. Can you explain the relationship between pagans, animal sacrifices, blood sacrifices, and the Christian communion and Christ's blood? Yeah, very easy. God originally instituted animal sacrifices in the Old Testament to point forward to the coming of the Redeemer. That was the whole idea. Paganism carried that on and imitated that, but for the wrong reason. They actually thought that by killing the animal's blood was going to save them. That was the complete difference between God's concept of blood sacrifice and the sacrifice of the pagan religions. Now, in this communion service, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Actually, he wasn't a lamb, obviously. He was a human being. And he shed his blood, that is, he exchanged his life for the life of those who would believe in him. That's called the atonement, the covering for sin. That's completely different because Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies leading to redemption, the Messiah. That was completely different than the pagan idea of animal sacrifice itself taking away sin. Remember in the book of Hebrews it says, impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Christ appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So there's quite a difference between pagan sacrifices and the biblical concept and Christ's death for our sins. Have you heard of the new book, The Born Again Jesus of the Word Faith Teaching by Judith Matta? No, but I want to talk to Terry before he leaves this morning. I did look the material, listen to the tape that he gave me, and I'd like to see the documentation on it because if those quotations are accurate quotations, then the people who are teaching this are teaching worse heresy than we thought they were teaching. And I'd very much like to get the documentation. So I'd like to see the material, and then I can say something about it publicly. But Jesus did not die and go to hell. And that is absolute nonsense. I'm going to talk, and was born again in hell and resurrected and so forth. This is nonsense. And this allegedly comes from a tape that was put out by one of the faith teachers. And I'm not going to mention it until I have the documentation in my hand. But that's far out stuff. And it's certainly not Christian theology. So if Terry will see me afterwards, I will be happy to talk with him about it. I received this brochure in the mail. I called and talked with someone on their registration desk, and she told me that it was indeed put out by the Seventh-day Adventist Church in cooperation with It Is Written television program. If this is so, then as a Christian, do you think I should be able to attend without a problem? Let's see what it is. Register now, seminar on Revelation. Coming to your area, Revelation seminar, a Bible study, spectacular. You are invited. This is probably put out by George Vandeman, who's a friend of mine. And they're going to give an exposition of the book of Revelation. They use the King James Bible. This is an attempt by the Seventh-day Adventists to evangelize and get interest in Bible study. And, of course, they're very interested in getting you to join the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. I'm interested in your not joining it from the perspective of good, solid biblical theology, because I think there's a lot of things in there that are wrong and are getting much wronger as time goes on. And I'm going to be dealing with that shortly publicly. But at any rate, I don't think you should attend that, my own personal conviction. I'd go to study the Bible with people who hold a consistently biblical view. Seventh-day Adventism believes that Ellen White is a prophetess of God. They believe that her writings, when she interprets the Bible, are to be accepted as absolute authority. They believe that she had a spirit of prophecy. They believe you must abstain from unclean foods from the Old Testament. You must keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And that if you reject the seventh-day Sabbath, when the test is finally given, that that will become the mark of the beast, Sunday worship, which is pure nonsense. But at any rate, that is part of what you will be getting at that Bible study. I would suggest that you do not get it, and therefore avoid it, because it is not consistent with the scriptures. Would you tell the Jimmy Carter and Roosevelt joke? Would I tell the Jimmy Carter and Roosevelt? I don't know what the joke was. So you see me afterwards and remind me what the joke was, and I'll tell it. But Jimmy Carter was a bit of a joke all by himself. A very sincere brother, but a real joke as president. There's no doubt about that. History will record that. I won't have to record it at all. I almost died laughing the other day when I was watching a television commercial popped on for Walter Mondale, and it had Mondale saying, "And we're going to correct Mr. Reagan's deficit." And I almost choked, because the deficit started with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, went through every Democratic administration, came all the way up to Jimmy Carter, who loaded us higher with more than anybody else, and then passed it off to Ronald Reagan and called it his deficit. I really think that's hysterical. Mondale does it with such a perfectly straight face. He is a practiced liar. He is really good at it. There's no doubt about that. You have to be to say things like that. I mean, when you can go and look at the record and then say it's Mr. Reagan's debt. I mean, Mr. Reagan has run up a deficit, but he had a lot going for him when he started. Let's be honest about it. I know you say that God never intended to destroy Nineveh, but if Jonah was preaching such according to the tests of a prophet, wouldn't that qualify him as a false prophet? That's the argument of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Whenever you question them about their false prophecies, they try and take you back to the book of Jonah and say, well, Jonah was a false prophet because he said Nineveh will be overthrown. What they do not understand, if they read the end of the book, is that God's intention from the very beginning, though it's not stated, is to bring Nineveh to repentance. And he has to go through a lot of trouble to get the prophet there, including an underwater trip in the belly of a fish. And he tells them, go there, and this is the message you tell them, that Nineveh is going to be overthrown. What is Jonah doing there? He's preaching the overthrow of Nineveh for the purpose of repentance. Obviously, if the people repent, you don't have to be a genius to figure this one out. If the people repent, God's not going to destroy it. Well, obviously Jonah wasn't a false prophet. Everything he said was true. Nineveh will be destroyed. But it was conditional. It was conditioned upon the lack of repentance. If they repented, what do you think Jonah was preaching there? He's preaching that they should turn from their sins. In the end of the book, God says, did you think that I wasn't going to have mercy on all these people and their homes and their families and everything else? I was just going to snuff them out? Jonah's upset at the end of the book because God didn't snuff Nineveh. He really is. I mean, after all, God put him to a lot of trouble. And he's been there preaching his heart out for 30 days. And now he's finished with the job. Okay, God, snuff him. And the Lord withers his gourd, and it falls on the ground, and Jonah starts to weep about the fact that this plant he was taking care of died. And God said, you're so concerned about the plant? What do you think I'm concerned about? People, not plants. That's why I sent you here, to bring them to what? Repentance. And that's what happened. And the Lord says, I'm very happy that it happened. Now, how do you make a false prophet out of that one? He came, he preached, Nineveh will be overthrown, but it was conditional upon repentance. I can't see why the Jehovah's Witnesses just don't simply use their heads. They seldom ever do, however, when it comes to Scripture. And if you think I'm kidding about that, incidentally, if you think that I put the JWs down, don't think that. Because if you talk to ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, they will tell you that when they were in the watchtower, they were taught that they and they alone had the truth. That the Watchtower organization alone was God's organization. And that nobody could tell them anything. They knew it all. Now that's not my summation. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses who come out of the Watchtower. And they'll look at you, some of them that I've met, and they'll say, how could I have been so blind that I didn't see it? I mean, now that I'm a Christian, I see it. I couldn't understand it then. 2 Corinthians 4:4 gives you your answer. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is God's image, should not shine unto them. They're blinded. We have to pray for that blindness to be lifted. When it is, you see the happiest people in the world. I talk to them on the radio all the time. I meet them when I go to lecture. I just came back from Vacaville, California. And we had ex-Jehovah's Witnesses at the meetings, ex-Mormons at the meetings. We had testimonies from the floor. We averaged about 700 people, 800 people a night. An overflow with closed-circuit television. I mean, right outside Sacramento. I asked the audience up there, incidentally, how many of you listen to the Bible Answer Man program? Every night I ask that question, and 95% of the people in the audience raise their hand. Over KFIA, San Francisco, and Sacramento. So the interest was utterly fantastic. We had people getting up, giving testimonies about how they'd been saved out of the cults, and praising God for it. One couple, a Christian Science couple, came forward, hugged me, kissed me, and said, "We were in Christian Science all our lives, and all our relatives were in Christian Science, and we just didn't understand. And then we happened to get hold of one of your books, and we read the chapter on Christian Science, and we listened to your tape, and we started to pray, and God showed us Christian Science was a cult and saved my husband and myself." And these very people turned to me and gave me a message just before I left. They said, "You're building a center for Christian Research Institute in Orange County." I said, "Yes, that's what we hope to do in 1985. I said, "We've already got the land and all things are beginning to shape up. We're just praising God for it. We're going to start acquainting our public with what's going on." And they said, "Well, could you use some help?" I said, "All the help I can get." I said, "I've already got the cement contributed at cost and the lumber contributed at cost and all kinds of things at cost." And they said, "Well, we make the finest industrial custom cabinets, counters, and tables of anybody. And one of our offices and factories is in San Diego. We would consider it a privilege if you would permit us, as ex-Christian scientists for Jesus, to thoroughly equip Christian Research Institute at our cost." That's incredible. I mean, they were just beautiful, beautiful people. I praise and thank God for it, because we can use all the help we can get. I want to finish up the questions. "I hope you can help me. My husband's father is a Mason. He wants my husband to become one also. He already has a sponsor for him. I have tried to tell my husband that Masonry is not Christian." You're right. "That there are ex-Masons that have told what takes place in the temple." Right. He said, "How did I know that they were not just spouting sour grapes?" He wants to know if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No. The Masonic order does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are Christians in the order, okay? But that doesn't mean that the teachings are Christian. This is the teaching of the Masons, that if you are a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew, and you follow the orders of Masonry and the Brotherhood, that you are as much saved as any Christian is. Now, that denies Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Masonry is riddled with paganism and riddled with things that are occultic. And this isn't sour grapes. These are books written by the people who came out. And if you ask a Mason what's in those books, and you say, "I know what goes on inside your temple. I know what your oaths are." And you repeat some of those oaths to the Masons, they get furious. The reason they get furious is because they're right. That's exactly what's going on in there. And they don't want to talk about it. So if this gentleman wants evidence, we'll be glad to supply him with evidence. And definitely your husband should not go into Masonry if he's a Christian. Listen carefully. If you are a Christian, you do not deliberately and willfully and consistently disobey Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower, an obedient follower. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Do not swear any oaths at all. Not by heaven, because it's God's throne, by earth, because it's his footstool, not even by the hairs of your head. You can't make them black or white. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, for everything else comes from the wicked one." All right? Very clear. Don't do it. If you're going to go up through the orders of Masonry, you must swear vile oaths about having your tongue torn out and your intestines and everything else if you betray any of their sacred secrets. You have to swear these oaths to go on through each level of Masonry. You also have to come to the door of the Masonic Lodge blindfolded. You must knock on the door and you must say, "I am Brother John Smith in darkness seeking light." and they say, "Enter, brother, and take off your blindfold, and you are in the light of masonry." It's not light, it's darkness. And no Christian can do that in good conscience, because Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Well, if you're the light of the world, what are you going to a pagan organization to give you light for? If Christ hasn't given you any light, you think the Masons are going to give you some? Masonry is now what it has always been classified by the Christian church before I ever arrived as a cult expert. It was always considered a non-Christian cult. You say, well, Masons do a lot of good. Sure they do. They have a lot of charitable works. Sure they do. So do pagan religions. It's not going to save your soul. Saves your soul is the Lord Jesus. And they don't know him. In checking my groceries out in Ralph's Market 2 weeks ago, I noticed the Checkers apparel was that of a punk rocker. It seemed inevitable we were being invaded by Mars. On my way out, I talked to a young man who looked as though he may have been the attending manager. And I asked if this was a joke or if Ralph's were having a type of promotion where the employees were asked to dress as a clown. He assured me everything was in order and that it would be discriminating to ask her to dress in another fashion to that which she chooses. Utter nonsense. The next morning, I called the manager of that store and received a similar statement. With no avail, I called the district manager, Mr. Mike Koriyama, and asked if Ralph's Markets had lowered their dress code to this extent. And if so, I would be one customer who would no longer be purchasing at Ralph's. As I'm a Christian and know that this attire represents Satan, I am sure other Christians will follow suit, though you may never hear from them personally. I also told him if he had been an expert on what's my line show, she would really have had me stumped. He listened quite attentively and stated, quote, "I can't believe what I'm hearing." At the completion of our conversation, he dropped the phone, jumped in his car, and headed for the Anaheim store. Last Saturday morning, 2 weeks later, I received a phone call from him. He said, quote, "In all the years I've been employed by Ralph, this is the first time I have welcomed a complaint. You see, I took this before the board, and they pointed out as they read the bylaws that unless we have one complaint by a customer, we can do absolutely nothing. I pointed my finger back at them and shouted, 'Well, you've got one.' The employee still holds her position with Ralph's Markets, but is now dressing as the others do. So Satan's foot is out of the door, at least for the time being." In focusing on the teaching of Dr. Martin, this confirms, as he often points out, when the consumer closes his or her pocketbook to any establishment, the ears go up and they are ready to listen. Yes, even to just one voice. Thank you for that. That's very informative. And I can tell you're a loyal class member. You have courage. And that's what we need, people with courage. I think it might be a good idea, in the light of our brother's suggestion, who's been in radio for so many years, that perhaps we raise a number of voices in the direction of Christian radio programming and see whether or not they will be responsive. It might be a good idea. Why don't you do something about it if the Lord leads you? Okay, well, our faithful ushers rush towards us. How many here today for the first time? Never been here before? Wave at us so we can welcome you. Welcome. If you would like free information on the cults and a free copy of our magazine, Forward, keep your hand up and wave at the usher and they will give you a card. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. Just wave your hand for a second. We'll give it to you. Yes. Front gentleman in the front row here. Right here is a gentleman. Other people back there. Just write your name and address down. And be sure you give it to an usher before you leave or drop it in the offering in a couple of minutes. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we ask you to give generously. Make your checks payable to Newport Mesa Christian Center, not to Walter Martin or to Christian Research Institute. If you'd like to give to Christian Research Institute, we're grateful for it. But it should be over and above what you give for the support of the class, because the class depends upon your support for my being able to continue in this teaching ministry. So, as the Lord has prospered you, if you're a believer, give generously. If you're not a Christian, you don't have to give a dime. We're glad you're here. We love you. We didn't invite you, or you weren't brought here by any means to get our hand in your pocket. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he takes a marvelous job, does a marvelous job of taking care of his work. And if you are somebody who can't give it all because you have no money, then the Lord bless you. We'll pray for you. You pray for us. But if you can give, give generously as the Lord has prospered you. Our Father, we worship you, the only living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Bless now these gifts and multiply them, and glorify thyself in this offering, those that give and those that cannot give. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, I'd like you to open to the Epistle to the Colossians. I'm reading from a New International Version this morning because it has the best rendering at this particular passage, and I liked it. It's closer to the Greek than the others, so I've chosen it for this morning. I normally use the King James and amend it with the New American Standard and the NIV, but this morning I'm going to use the NIV straight because it's got the best translation of these passages. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. If you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to the rules of this world? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with their use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship and their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Radical translation, right to the core of the matter. Don't go along with the idea that by changing your diet, obeying a whole series of prohibitions, and becoming a dedicated legalist in how you live and what you do, that this will in any way increase your spirituality. All it can do is change the outward appearance somewhat, but it will not give you any spiritual resources with which to resist sensuality and evil. True power comes from God, from the inside out. It is not imposed from the outside by commands and restrictions given by other people. How true this is in the world of the cults. When you are indoctrinated into the Moonies or into Armstrong's cult, as two good examples, what happens to you is, be sure, they tell you, don't eat certain kinds of food, don't touch this, don't taste that. Armstrong says, if you do that, then you're under the judgment of God. And you must keep the seventh day Sabbath, because if you don't keep the Sabbath and tithe to the Armstrong organization, you're not going to reach anything but destruction at the resurrection. That's imposed from the outside. It does not come from any spiritual conversion. The same is true from the Moonies, who talk a lot about love and concern and care for our fellow man. But what do they do to the people in it? They impose upon them the strictest type of restraint. They keep them constantly busy. They underfeed them, overwork them, and have them out there constantly raising money to justify Mr. Moon's organization. That is exploitation, which is imposed from the outside and not from God, the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, have you died with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you really been crucified with Christ? And are you really alive? If you are, it's Christ who is living in you. And the life which you're living in the flesh is not something imposed on you from the outside. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, living his resurrection life in you and through you, and giving you the power to do what nothing imposed from the outside can ever do. Paul wants the Colossians to scrap the legalism of the Judaizers. He wants them to chuck the phony asceticism and the abuse of the body that came from the Gnostic cult, which had infiltrated Colossae. Instead, he wanted them to live the life of God in Christ. From the inside, the reconstruction, the recreation of the individual to come out through the flesh, so that people would see that it was the power of the Spirit controlling the flesh for the glory of God. Now, after having given that very beautiful and succinct summation, he moves on to practicality in the Christian life. And that's really what chapter 3 is all about, the practical Christian life. Since then, you have been resurrected or raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, think about that for 1 second. You died with Christ by faith. You were crucified with Christ by faith. You came to Christ, to his cross, and you asked him to save you. All right, says Paul, understand what that meant, what happened. When you came to him, you were actually participating at Calvary because Jesus died for your sins. You were identifying with him at Calvary, and you were saying to him, Lord Jesus, I should be on that cross because I'm the sinner. I'm lost, and I can't save myself. Lord Jesus, I identify with you. You bled and suffered and died up there in my place, the just for the unjust, to bring me to God. God made you to become the sin offering for me. You who knew no sin, Lord Jesus, that I might be made as righteous as God by faith in you. And Paul says, when you have come to that place, that is dying with Christ. It's very significant here because this is the foundation of what is rather crassly described sometimes and superficially described sometimes as the victorious Christian life. Well, let me tell you something. There is such a thing as the victorious Christian life. It shouldn't be spoken of superficially or in a crass manner. It should be considered in the light of what it practically means. Because, let's face it, if Jesus Christ is really who he said he was, and if he really did on the cross what he said he did, and he truly rose from the dead, he is Lord of all. And there is power from a risen Savior to lift the sons of men that they might become by faith in him the sons of God. Not just in their profession, not just in confessing with the mouth their faith, but in their living of the life of Christ to a world which will see Christ in them. And Paul says, now listen, if all this is true, snap out of it. Wake up. Learn what the Christian life is all about. Here it is. The Christian life is to rise with Christ and to live with Christ in the heavenlies. And you say, well, I mean, that's great theology to rise with Christ and be enthroned in the heavenlies, but how do I get that into my daily life? Very good question. And now comes a very good answer. Set your hearts, your affections, your desires, those things which govern and motivate your daily activity, set them on Christ. If you do, says Paul, you rise with him in a newness of life. If you set your affection, your heart, and your minds on Christ, you are living in him, and you will be able to live above the world which would drag you down after the passions and desires and sins of our Adamic nature. Face it, the people who teach that the Adamic nature is eradicated, Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, Nazarenes, and others, and even some free will Methodists, are teaching an erroneous doctrine and a false doctrine because you are stuck with your body as long as you are on this earth. And your genetic code came from Adam, not Christ. That means that your carcass is in the process of dying. Now, some of us are dying slower than others. And young people think that they're not dying at all. And that everything will just go on the way it is forever. Have I got bad news for you? Time, that inevitable destroyer of illusions, will encroach upon you sooner or later. So you better wake up to it now. And remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil times come, so that your life may rise with Christ and be fixed in Him. It's Christ that gives us victory over our Adamic genes. It's Christ by His Spirit that can conquer the corruption of our flesh. Yes, the flesh is corrupted. And you're going to die. Everybody in this room shares one thing in common. I say it all the time so we never forget it. We all have an appointment with the undertaker if Christ doesn't return in our lifetime. Now, Solomon said it, the living know they must die. We are living in a corrupt world, not a perfect one. And we are aging. And age is the evidence of sin, of its curse upon the world, and of our inevitable disintegration. The fillings in your teeth, the glasses on your eyes, the gray and white in your hair, the breathlessness after two flights of stairs are all empirical evidence that the carcass is disintegrating. Now, says Paul, you have died by faith to the world, to its sin, to its corruption, and to its passions. Rise with Christ. You want to live a victorious life, says the apostle? Let me tell you how to do it. Live in Christ in the heavenlies. In other words, if I could put it bluntly, transpose heaven to earth and conquer the nature of Adam with the Spirit of Christ. If Christ is risen from the dead, says Paul, He's Lord of all. He has risen. He is Lord. So, chapter 3, verse 1, since you have been raised with Christ as Christians, set your hearts, your affections, your desires, your motives on the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God in Jewish theology is the position of power or authority. An Oriental potentate had his successor sit on his right hand, the person that spoke for him on his right hand. That was called the right hand of power. So here, Christ is spoken of as being at the right hand of power. Oh, how wonderful are the words of this same writer, Paul, in the epistle to the Romans when he says, He, Jesus Christ, is declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. Because He's alive, we can live. He is the living Savior. Now, let's put this in its proper focus once and for all. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, therefore, set your minds on the things above and not on the earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's where you are. You died with Christ on that cross. You have risen with Him in the newness of life. For if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are from God, who has reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. If you've died with Christ, rise with Him. If you're alive in Christ, then live for Him. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Jesus appears, we will appear with Him in that glory, and we will be victorious. Now, the next question is, and the one with which I conclude, well, how do you do it? Answer, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death whatever Adam gave you that will keep you from fellowship with Christ. Here's what you put to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self, Adam, with its practices, and have put on the new self, Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Christ is all and in all. Ever notice a little play on words here in verse 8? Anger and rage. Quite a difference. Anger and rage are two entirely different things. Anger is to be upset, whether justly or unjustly, about a specific thing. There is such a thing as righteous anger. In fact, the scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. What is sin? Rage. Rage is anger translated into action. And God says, you want to be a victorious Christian? Just remember, keep a check on your anger and never give way to rage. Don't translate it, because if you do, it becomes sin. This is the ultimate for the Christian. You must be transformed and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You want to be victorious? Then put to death in your life the things that will tear you down and rise with Christ in the newness of life. That power He gave us through the resurrection. Claim it, use it, apply it, and God will bless it. Our Father, bless Thy word. Burn it into our hearts and minds that we may always remember that our victory is in You. In the midst of all the things which come upon us and all the things which attack us, help us to lift the shield of faith, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And give us victory, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. Cleanse us of our sins and make us fit vessels for Thy use through Christ our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh Elohim lift up His countenance upon thee and grant thee peace, now till Jesus Christ comes again and then forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together? Remember the KYMS discussion and pray about it.